Hey there, folks. This is your MC again, Carl Castaneda, presenting you with day two of Johnny and the Gang's E3 Experience 2009. That is a mouthful and a half. Okay, well, again, they're going to be talking about this on the show, Floor and Such, with impressions of the latest games that you want to hear about. Now, like I said again, yesterday, there is a slight audio hiss, so if this is your first show that you're listening to, just know that they're not using the usual setup and that you're going to be hearing a little bit of feedback. But overall, still a great show that's very much worth listening to. Alrighty, folks, so let's get on into it.
Alright, welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. This is episode, this is E3 special number 2, starting from zero. And this is, we're speaking to you on Wednesday evening, not quite as late as last time. The neighbors actually didn't appreciate us speaking with our radio voices at 1 in the morning, so we're trying to do this a little earlier in the day. I don't know if it has done much for our energy levels, but anyway... I'm here with some different people, different lineup this time. Actually, two first-timers for the show. We have Chuck Jose.
Hello. Chuck Jose. I'm a staff writer. Yeah, it's my first time here.
Yeah. Hello. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
And Zach Miller.
Hello. I'm also a staff writer, post reviews.
And Zach has...
And dinosaurs.
Zach has been a bit of podcast experience. He did a couple of shows with Carl Castaneda.
Not on Game Informer.
That's right. Back when Carl was doing the Game Informer podcast, or I guess the community podcast, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I believe that was before he joined our staff, or at least before we started our own podcast.
And I remember now it was called the Game Informer Radio Free Podcast.
That's funny. Because Carl was not involved in the naming of this show, as far as I know.
No, he called it... I don't think he's involved in naming at all, no.
I don't believe he was. I'm pretty sure the name came from...
It was Evan.
Evan or Mike.
Yeah. So, yeah, because his podcast didn't call it that for a while. They had their alternate title.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. And obviously James Jones is with us as well. I'm your host, Jonathan Metz, and... on today's show, we're going to talk about third-party games, since episode 1 was all about first-party. We didn't cover everything, but we covered most of the stuff, and you know, there's so many other games here at the show for Wii that we wanted to talk about, not necessarily our favorite stuff, our least favorite stuff, but the most interesting games that we played. So we've got two or three each. There'll be some overlap that we can kind of get a bit of back and forth on. And we're going to start with Chuck. And then kind of go around the table here. So, actually, we're going to start with Zach, actually. That's
okay.
The order. My bad.
It's all right.
All right.
Yesterday I played a whole lot of Dead Space Extraction. I thought it was a real good game. Manages to capture the atmosphere of the original.
So you played it on 360?
No, PS3.
Okay.
The superior console.
okay.
To the Xbox. Dead Space Extraction, for those who don't know, it's a prequel. It tells the story of how the Ishimura mining vessel was originally infected by necromorphs. You can also see that story in the really horrible animated film Downfall. supposedly it's all canonical, according to the booth representative, so, you know. But Extraction's much better than the movie was.
So it's a rail shooter, right?
Yes. It's a rail shooter, but it doesn't feel like a rail shooter.
Okay, how does it pull that off?
Well, it pulls that off by the game is very good about slowing down. You're not running from room to room like you are in Resident Evil in the Umbrella Chronicles or House of the Dead. You're kind of creeping along, and the game gives you plenty of time to sweep your head around, grab objects with the A button, and read logs and voice recordings that you pick up. And after a bit of that, you know, then the necromorphs start flooding in and start shooting them in the leg.
And is there, I don't know, did you get a feel for the weapons? I mean, the weapons are pretty cool in Dead Space. How are they kind of being translated here? Do they feel right?
They're about the weapons I played with were the weapons from the original game. Is the plasma cutter, the line gun, and the flamethrower.
Okay.
And there was one more that's kind of your, I forget what he called it, but it's a new gun. It's your infinite ammo default weapon, but the guy said it's the worst weapon in the game. He never used it.
It's the pea shooter.
Yeah, pea shooter
yeah.
gun.
Yeah.
The plasma cutter, I remember when playing it on 360, you could like rotate it horizontally yeah. or vertically. Can you do that with the
You can do that. Remote? You can do that with the new one. You just turn the remote on its side.
So you just go gangsta style.
Yeah, style. But the other guns, turning the Wiimote on the side, will just do a secondary fire. Like for the line gun, it lays a mine. And for the flamethrower, it just blows a big fireball forward instead of a steady stream of fire.
So did the demo that you played, did they have headphones or something?
No headphones, but the volume was up well enough so I could hear monsters okay. screaming.
That's good. But yeah, I mean that the first Dead Space is so much about the sound that it's funny. I mean at E3, and this is the first time for all three of you guys, but the sound really gets lost in a lot of E3 demos. It's Definitely. So loud out there and there's so many competing sounds that it's just tough to really hear things. So
that was the problem with Silent Hill.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But I played Silent Hill with headphones. Actually,
yeah, I eventually did. And it was much better.
I also played. I plugged my own headphones in for Mario and Luigi when I played that yesterday because I wanted to hear the voices and the music and everything. And I'm glad I did that. You know, I always bring a good set of headphones to E3 because every now and then you just want to plug in.
See, it's funny that you all seem to really enjoy that demo because Nick and I played it. We were actually doing our E3 tour.
Dead Space, you mean?
Yeah, we actually did the E3 tour, but first we had to sit through their only Nintendo back show, which was Charm Girl Squad. Charm Girl Squad, which was the worst video I've ever sat through twice. So we went straight from that to Dead Space, and our first thought was that the demo kind of sucked because it's like you sit there for 5 minutes and shooting these things, like shooting the projectiles that are coming out at you. We felt like it was just a bad choice for a demo.
Projectiles coming out.
So when your spaceship is coming up to the larger ship, you sit that long period of shooting the shots that are coming at you, because we tried it one time. I didn't fire at all and I still made it no problem.
they probably had invincibility on for the demo.
No, you're taking damage, but there's just not enough shots to kill you. If you let every single shot hit you, you still will not die.
Yeah,
so
that again could be a balance thing. They might just not have tuned that yet.
So you really don't get into the action until what, about 4 minutes into the demo, like really legitimate action.
I think it comes out in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I would.
That game's out in September. I'm pretty
sure. I would have. I think they could have picked better part of the game to show than talking, because talking's not going to work that well in the E3 format.
No.
And they should have gone straight to a scene where there's action. And so for like the first 2 minutes on the ship, all you can do is grab stuff, which is represented by this white ball coming out from your body.
That's kinesis.
Yeah, that's the kinesis from the first.
So game. I spent the first 2 minutes doing kinesis on one of your crew members who's bent over picking something up just because I thought it was funny. So, and like the guy we had at the booth was completely worthless. So he's just watching me kinesis this girl's ass for 2 minutes. He just didn't care.
Now hang on. Being that the game is sort of on rails, how can you sort of waste 2 minutes?
Well, I just kinesis everything for 2 minutes while I just walked around doing nothing.
But it was walking for you.
I mean, I wasn't doing anything. I was listening to dialogue I can't hear.
I imagine so if there was sound, there'd be ambient noises and music, and it'd be setting a tone.
Are you saying it's kind of like a Half-Life thing where you're sort of walking through a cutscene, except in this case, you can't walk where you want to. It's walking where it tells you to go.
And because there's nothing going on, because you don't have a lot of time on each game, and because you can't fucking hear anything.
Right.
It's just we just agreed that it was a really bad choice for a demo. So by the time we actually got to action, both of us were so bored that we had to move on.
That's too bad.
Have you played the original Dead Space?
A little bit.
How the cutscenes are in that game.
Yeah,
but
you can hear them.
Talk in front of you. Oh, I see what you mean.
We only had an hour to cover all of the ages.
Yeah, so I get you. I mean, it's not like you're not really saying the game is bad.
No, I said the demo is bad.
Yeah, that's one of the distinctions that You have to learn to make it E3.
Yeah, and that's why both of us agreed we weren't going to write impressions on it, because
right.
we agreed the demo was bad, but we really can't write impressions.
Yeah, I definitely want to get over there tomorrow and check that out. I've been a bit critical. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not that I think the game will turn out poorly. It's just not really what we owners want, I think. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's not worthwhile.
Can I say one more thing about it?
Yeah.
The graphics are wonderful.
Yeah?
They're really... It shouldn't be a Wii game kind of good.
That sounds great. I definitely want to go check that out. All right, so Zach, what you got next?
Conduit.
The Conduit. Ooh. Have we all played The Conduit?
No.
Okay, you should.
I was supposed to get play it during the booth event, but then everybody else from the staff showed up and we got delayed.
It's an interesting experience, I'll say that, but I want to hear what Zach thinks first.
Well, it's real growth from when I went to PAX. I saw an unfinished
demo.
That
was like 9 months ago, right? Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, they hadn't even put all the colors on the bad guys at PAX. But I really liked it. I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed it. The only thing I didn't like was that, you know, I'm sure it's a sensitivity issue that you can fix yourself, because the guy said it's all customizable. That was his big deal. Controls, view, all customizable. So when I moved the analog stick to look around, or I'm sorry, not the analog stick, the Wii remote, to look, you know, to the left or the right, the second I let off that, the view would center right away. So it kind of gave it a weight that I didn't like. But once I got used to it, it was just fine.
And you could certainly turn that off.
Yeah, he said everything's customizable. Right. I said, this is a little weird. He said, yeah, but you know, the controller customizable, the viewpoint's customizable, everything in the world's customizable. We want to make this for every person in the world to enjoy. I thought, all right.
Yeah, when I first picked it up, the bounding box was too big. So I had to move the remote. And, you know, there's some IR problems pointing at E3. There were a lot of stations close together, and you end up kind of standing a lot closer to the TV than you would when you're playing it at home. So the IR can be a bit funny on some of these. But, you know, I had to basically point way off to the side of the screen, and before it would turn, I was like, this isn't going to work. So I went in there and pulled up the bounding box. And the funny thing is that, and it kind of gives you a little warning, but the bounding box adjustment screen is like while you're playing the game. So it actually displays the box and it overlays this over the gameplay, and dudes are still shooting at you. Like, I had heard that you can kind of adjust it on the fly, but I thought maybe they kind of warp you into a test room temporarily or something while you do this. No, like, you literally adjust it on the fly while you're still playing the game, which I don't necessarily think is a good thing.
No.
You know, I'm trying to dodge shots and change my control options at the same time.
It's like opening your menu screen in the middle of a firefight.
It's a bit like managing your inventory in Dead Space while dudes are attacking you. It's not a great idea. I would have chosen a safer area to do that if I'd known. But I did make the bounding box a lot smaller, and it made a difference. It made it a lot easier. But I wonder if you guys have had this experience, well, the two of you who have played it already, that, you know, they tell you, like, you can sort of shake the remote to do a melee attack.
Right.
And I found that every time I did that, my view went crazy, because I'm no longer pointing at where I was before, because it's kind of this issue of where you combine pointing and waggle at the same time. That, you know, they kind of mess each other up.
I didn't really use melee all that much.
Well, yes.
Nick was complaining about this. He said that it made him not want to use melee.
It's funny, because when we did the high voltage interview, we were talking to, I can't remember his name is now, but he was primary on the Conduit, and he said that his control scheme does not use waggle for anything.
Yeah.
His customized, so he's
I
got...
I thought it was fine for grenades, but...
Yeah.
Well, for I would, I mean, for the nunchuck,
I would want to turn it off.
But on the remote, he said he mapped A to melee and then the plus button to grenades.
Well, I think it's clear that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because it was a problem, you know. Yeah.
Well, again, you can customize it.
Right.
Is it waggle by default?
I don't know what the defaults are.
It is,
but certainly you can change it, which is good because it's bad. So
I thought the game looked good. It was a little generic looking, but I didn't have a problem with it. Which is weird. Some of the bad guys looked like they were straight out of Halo. Again, I didn't find myself having a problem with it.
It's probably because you've never seen a game like that.
Yeah, there you go. Like that, so. I still think Dead Space looks better, Conduit looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thoughts on the gameplay? I mean,
Metroid Prime-esque.
Really?
With more combat.
I feel like it's a little bit more, I guess, fluid when it comes to, like, the having to, like strafe and aim and shoot and stuff. So I mean,
yeah.
I kind of like that. I kind of like as much of a Metroid fan. I kind of like the Conduit's shooting mechanics a little bit better.
Okay,
that's
I didn't like the all-seeing either.
Oh no!
Every time I whipped that out, bad guys would be like, "He doesn't have a gun. Shoot him in the head."
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the kind of thing you want to use in the safe area.
Yeah,
I wonder if there's maybe like a last resort attack that, you know, that comes with the all-seeing eye that we just don't know how to use yet.
The guy told me, you know, you see invisible stuff with it.
Right.
I used it to pick out mines.
I used it to pick up where I'm supposed to go next because the level design did not make that very clear.
There's no little compass like in
Right, and there's one place where you're supposed to like jump through a hole in a brick
wall,
and it does not look like you would be able to go through there.
No.
And I mean, I ran around for 5 minutes, like, where am I supposed to go next,
right?
And finally, you know, I brought that thing out, and it sort of shows you a trail of where you're supposed to go.
The rep just told me you're supposed to go through that
right.
hole.
I don't think he comes with the game though. So my thoughts on the Conduit were, I think I like it a little bit less than you guys in that. It didn't feel great to me. I still think, and I had this problem with Metroid Prime 3 as well, that it looks goofy watching your gun or your arm wave all over the screen.
Yeah.
I wish it moved a lot less, you know? If you've got a cursor, I would prefer that the visible, you know, gun or arm kind of stay in the same place, because that's sort of a point of reference visually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would prefer that the cursor move. And maybe that's not possible. I don't know. But to me, it looks a bit goofy. I always thought it looked funny with Samus waving her blaster arm all over the place.
But if she didn't do that and you fired, your shot would, like, bend. So, right. So,
yeah.
But, well, if the arm doesn't move and you're aiming up here, the shot's going to go...
Yeah, but I mean, she doesn't have to go like that. She can go like this.
You're right. And that is basically what it looked like on Prime Hunters on the DS. It looked like your shots kind of just sprayed all over the place. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know if there's a good way to get around that.
There needs to be some visual cue so it doesn't look like you can bend light.
You know, hold on. On this topic of arms waving around first-person shooters, I was upstairs at the South Hall. I just walked by the Alien vs. Predator demo, and the guy was playing as the Predator. And the Predator... Imagine a first-person shooter where you have two guns... And they're both just sticking towards the center of the screen. And they never move. When you're jumping, when you're running, when you're attacking things, they just stay there.
It's like Mech Warrior-esque.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So.
Oh, that's funny.
That was really awkward.
Yeah, that sounds pretty,
you know, I mean,
pretty crazy.
Just try running like that. I mean, your arms, just put your arms in, everything else moves.
The Predators made it work.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I found the Conduit to be really difficult.
Really?
I don't know if it was the infrared issue. Maybe I'm really bad at shooters, although
I
don't think
I
am.
Well, the guy said it was like the 7th level.
Okay, maybe that's it. I actually had to get the demo guy to turn down the difficulty all the way to low.
Really?
And that made a difference, although I still thought it was pretty difficult even then. And I got to this boss that was kind of like this big alien crab spider thing, and apparently you can only attack it from below.
No, you can shoot its eyes. That's how I killed it.
I couldn't even see its eyes. But I had this cool rocket launcher type thing that after you, it was like the Half-Life rocket launcher. You fire it, and then you can point the cursor at where you want the projectile to go. And I thought, okay, well, I can just sort of shoot a salvo from this and point it at the underside of this dude, and it'll go to there. But that didn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up having to switch to a machine gun and just kind of run under it. But anyway, that guy killed me. I fought him forever, and his health regenerated. So, like, unless you just really assaulted him, you know, you weren't going to kill him. I was a little surprised at how difficult it was.
I killed him, and then I got killed by the dudes who were on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah. All right, well, that's The Conduit. Interesting game. I kind of want to play more of it before I really form much of an opinion.
Did they say when it was coming out? All they keep saying is June.
It's July.
It's July now?
Yeah, it has been a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I believe there is a date.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's
like,
July.
It's July 20-something. I don't know.
I could have sworn the guy said in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Like, no, it's not in 3 weeks. It's definitely not in 3 weeks because they've had advertising with the date on it. And that would be ridiculous to do that.
No, they're not going to release it early. It's just a matter of, you know, who's remembering it correctly. So,
right.
Anyway, what was your third game, Zach?
Silent Hill, Shattered Memories.
Mm-hmm. I played this too. You guys?
I didn't get a chance to play it. So.
I got to watch somebody play a Konami demo.
Okay. At the press conference?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, for those who don't know what it is, I should talk towards the mic. For those who don't know what it is, Silent Hill Shattered Memories is kind of a reboot for the franchise. They're going back to the original game, but they're kind of redoing the storyline and the characters. The main plot of Harry Mason looking for his daughter Cheryl is still there, but it looks like everything else is totally different. You go first.
Well, I played it too, and... You know, this game, one of the big features is that there's no combat. You know, I mean, like, when enemies attack you, it prompts you to do a certain gesture, which will shake them off, which is like, you know, kind of shove to the side or shove upwards, and you'll throw the enemy off. And it seems like as long as you do that within 5 or 10 seconds, the enemy doesn't really have any effect on you. You don't really have any effect on the enemy. It just gives you a chance to run away. And there are items in the environment that you can push over to sort of trip up the enemy or block them off. And there are places you can hide. I was able to hide under a bed and also inside of a closet. But I think that's interesting. I don't know if it will work over the course of the entire game. But it was interesting. And my issue, at least with the demo, is it didn't seem like there was anything to do.
I agree.
Like, I kept running around and... I was getting lost, and I was confused about where I was supposed to go or what I was supposed to be doing.
But from hearing them describe the game, and we had, I can't remember what his name was, but he was in charge of localization. And that's basically the premise of the game.
You wander aimlessly.
There isn't anything to do. Your job is to get the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
So
get out of infested areas.
You can't fight. You can just run. And you don't know where you're going because...
That's scary.
That's part of the fear there.
Yeah, well... That sounds good on paper, but by the end of this 10-minute playing session, I knew where I was going. I was going to the same place I'd already been because I couldn't figure out where to go next.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. So, like, it's not just a demo. That's the game. That is what they designed.
That doesn't sound very appealing to me. I mean, I thought the graphics were pretty good, even blown up on this giant LCD.
The ice looked a little weird, though.
The ice did look weird.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah,
the environment stuff was good.
Yeah,
as it is in any Silent Hill game.
Yeah, I thought that I played it with headphones, but I thought the sound was great.
Yeah,
very awesome. Very creepy,
moody, and the music is very low key. And
yeah, it didn't feel like things were jumping out at me. It felt like as I got to a more dangerous area, the music really kind of ramped up.
Yeah.
And it sort of prepared me for, you know, some crazy shit you're about to see.
Well, during the conference, they said that all of that's dynamic. And it changes depending on...
How you play.
Right, and how it takes judgments of how you're playing as you play it. And then it tweaks these environmental variables, where the attacks are going to be, how they're going to be, you know, how they're going to build up to them, the music, the sounds you hear, all of that changes depending on how you play. So their goal is to not have the quick burst scares, but to have this constant building of dread, fear. And even so much that when you finally get there, you're not as afraid as you were when you knew something was coming.
Well, for me, I guess I need to see more than just the demo. You know, Silent Hill that's one of my favorite horror franchises. Dead Space now is more of my favorite. I think it succeeds in ways that Silent Hill's kind of stopped succeeding. But Silent Hill's always been about kind of the psychological aspect, of fear. And this one gets to that a little bit, but it's boring. You know, and I guess I need to see more of the game. And I was really disappointed in the creature design. It just looked like a rag doll with
meaty textures. They look like crash test dummies.
They really do. Yeah, that's an ugly looking enemy, and not in a good way.
No, and the creatures of Silent Hill are traditionally just like, I don't want to see that anymore, which is good.
And not just that, that's all there is we've seen. I mean, a bunch of white...
And the dude at the... that localization guy seemed to... I mean, he didn't say there'd be more enemies. He was like, these things are stalking you all the time.
Right. And, I mean, his premise was, they're smart, they're somewhat cunning, they work together. They're not trying to rip you into pieces.
They're just trying to lay on top of you.
They just want you to stop doing what you're doing.
Whatever that is.
At whatever the cost.
So you know, I just realized if there's no combat in the game, there's no bosses. And the bosses are really what are awesome in Silent Hill games traditionally.
Well, maybe you have to rethink what a boss is. Maybe you come into a situation where
shake a boss off.
No, something that's much harder to escape. Something where you have to do more execution to get away from it. Right. Something that's more frightening.
Okay. Right. Shove left and right.
Yeah, I think it's obviously a very ambitious game, and even after playing it, I'm not sure how some of these lofty concepts that they have are actually going to work in the context of a final game.
This feels like...
I'm curious, which is more than I've ever been about Silent Hill before.
This feels like the dreaded experiments in game design.
Well, it definitely is.
Yeah, and every time that happens, bad things tend to come along with it.
Well, you know, I mean, it may succeed even in the midst of its failure.
I mean, I don't think there's a release date, so I think they've got some time.
Yeah. I think they're headed in the right direction. The flashlight looks really cool.
The lighting is great.
Yeah.
Things cast shadows when you're kind of creepy.
Yeah. I think the lighting is really good, and, you know, there's a lot of flashlight games for Wii at this E3. I don't know how many you guys have seen, but Fragile and XSEED has two. and they're a small company, but yeah.
God.
I didn't see the Juon game.
Oh, yeah, they get to pick their games. Maybe they just like flashlights.
Right, I guess so. Fragile, we saw that they just had the Japanese version. They haven't really started localizing it so much, but it's sort of behind closed doors. They're such a small company, they don't really have a booth, it's just a meeting room.
Mm.
But, you know, they just announced that they're bringing over. Yes. And they haven't really started, but... Fragile, like the flashlight in that, is not as dramatic. It's more of kind of a subtle thing. But the other thing is the flashlight is such a major part of Fragile that, like, over the course of the game, you actually get different flashlights, and you get, you know, one that shows ghosts. You get more powerful flashlights. So I don't even know what those.
And then
The Grudge actually I thought had the best.
I was about to say that I get more scared with The Grudge than I do with Silent Hill.
Have you played that? I didn't know it was playable.
Silent Hill? The Grudge. I'm just saying from what I saw.
Okay.
Like that seemed a little bit more intense.
How are they making a whole game out of The Grudge?
Well, whole game might be a funny
way. Remember, there are Wii games now that are like 5 hours long.
This one is probably even shorter.
Yeah, so I would not be expecting
it. I don't want to flip through my notes at the moment, but the XE told us that The Grudge is like, if you play through it the first time, it's probably 2 to 3 hours. It's meant to be of like a very casual game. So it's more of like an experience. It's more of like a ride.
Is it going to be a retail game?
It is a retail game. I don't know what, you know, I don't know any details of what it's costing or whatever, or how they're going to market it. But he indicated it's like a very casual game. It's more of like a crazy experience. And the idea is that, like, you would play through it and then bring your friends over and sort of show it to them and see their reactions to
it. I thought it was pretty cool because he was talking about how there's, like, multiplayer kind of action and where you have, like, your friend who hasn't
played. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Your friend who hasn't played, I guess, through the level, he's walking through it. And then you have another remote and you kind of hide it. And at any point, you can press a button to kind of do some, like, I guess, like, Eternal Darkness-esque scare, like, tactics.
It's sort of like the evil version of Mario Galaxy.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I'll play that, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, Shattered Memories, Silent Hill, could be interesting, let's say that.
Yeah.
So moving on to Chuck.
All right, so earlier today I got the chance to check out the Beatles Rock Band presentation and demo. And before we even got like hands-on, they did a little like demonstration where they had people from Harmonix play all the parts. They had they had three microphones set up, a drum, and two people with with a bass and guitar. And so they did their like little spiel about like how Harmonix has like sold has made like billions in sales and everything like that. And then they played three songs that I guess were like pretty cool. Some of them I'm not really too big into. I consider myself a big Beatles fan, but then like I guess their choice of songs were not that good. But once once they actually played the game, I was like in awe of like how they managed to capture the same feeling I get when I like listen to the Beatles. It's kind of because I feel like Beatles are like kind of like they're somewhat uplifting. So like when I saw all the little like different interface like look like how the interface is different from like I guess like Rock Band 2 or like Guitar Hero, it's more like cartoony and stars come about, and when you do combos like this, the word fab comes out, and if you do unison
that's fab. Good lord.
When you do unison with guitars and like drums, like double and triple fab come out. So
are they Yellow Submarine cartoony?
I am buying that
game.
I'm wondering if the maybe some of this stuff that you're talking about kind of evolves as you play through the career mode or whatever.
Yeah, they were talking about how you the career mode like brings you through the Beatles' career. So like,
because I want them to get groovy at some point, right?
It does. Especially they were talking about how like 1966 and beyond, they became less of a stage band and more of like a studio band. And so they were talking about how they like each song has like their iconic venue that they performed that song in. But after 1966, since they became more studio, they didn't really have like venues for the songs. So they kind of went a different approach. And if you've seen videos, definitely if you see what's a example? The Last Walrus,
I
Am the Walrus. Sorry, yeah.
That's an amazing music video. Exactly, like a really kinda, early proto music
exactly.
video.
They kind of capture that in like the visuals of like that song. And so what happens is, it's called a dreamscape. They start off like performing it in a studio, and then like once the song kicks
then they
in,
they hallucinate.
Exactly. So like
that's awesome.
Yeah. So. After watching this demo, like being in awe, like the graphics look amazing, I walk out and remember, oh wait, I just saw the 360 version. And so I look to my left and I see the Wii demo, and so I get a chance to play it. And I don't know, it's kind of, in my opinion, like I think it looks a little bit worse than I say Rock Band 2 for the Wii. Like it actually looks like pre-rendered video. Like some of the colors aren't as vibrant as like what I was seeing like on 360, but for the most part, like I like pretty much dig it. Like,
did it play like Rock Band? I mean, were there any real differences? I guess they have the three-part harmony on
that,
vocals.
That, in my
right?
opinion, is probably the best thing, like best new innovation about this game. It's pretty easy to, I guess, like start off the harmonies, but then like later on, it kind of gets harder to pick it out because you're so used to hearing the main part of the song.
Yeah.
But it was I really thought like it was so cool to see six people playing like a song at the same time. So I mean, it's kind of hard because you can't really hear it, so you kind of have to practice it. I'm not sure if there's like a mode where you could like pick out harmonies or anything like that, but
could it be played with just four people?
Yeah,
like somebody playing guitar and singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
I mean, you can always.
Yeah, I guess you can.
You can always just play it just drums if you want to.
Right.
You can just be Ringo. But I don't know. I think the harmony thing is like a cool idea. It definitely fits with the Beatles because they had a lot of harmony parts in their songs. But at the same time, I wonder. You know, it seems like it's going to make the vocals part pretty difficult. And if you think about it, Beatles songs are actually pretty hard to sing on key at pitch already. You know, they tended to sing at very high pitch, a lot of falsetto, and then doing that in harmony as well is pretty tough, you know? Right. And so I guess, you know, maybe that's more of an advanced option for people who are, like, really into the Beatles or who really want to play the game at a high level. But, wow, you know, doing stuff like I saw her standing there with the harmony. Yeah. That's not an easy song to sing. You know, I think the Beatles don't quite get the credit they deserve for their singing chops because that stuff is really hard to reproduce.
Eleanor Rigby.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you could name hundreds of songs. So that's pretty cool, though. I would like to get over there and play it. But
Walter, I am the walrus.
Yes.
Okay.
Vladimir Ilyich. That enough.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Before we change games, I want to go into, like, the instruments. They are quite possibly the coolest plastic instruments I've ever, like, laid my hands on.
Are they, like, $250 cool?
Well, if you're a Beatles fan like me, they are definitely $250 cool. Mm. But I guess if you're just your average Joe, I guess not. But I don't know. It was pretty cool to hold Paul McCartney's... bass, like it being so.
Do you have
tiny.
The Hofner or the Rickenbacker?
The Hofner.
Well, they don't. Oh, they have a Rickenbacker guitar, but not the bass.
No.
See, I like his.
You like
the, I like the albums where he played the Rickenbacker, like, you know, Sgt. Pepper. But
got it.
That's neither here nor there.
But it was pretty cool. I mean, they really nailed the look. Like, it was cool seeing the instruments, like, in person. Like, they have, like, a nice shiny gloss finish and everything, and even the drums are white with. With a black circle in the middle to be as, like, authentic as possible.
All
right. Yeah.
Well, what's your other game, Chuck?
I also got a chance to check out Academy of Champions.
Oh God.
With Pele.
This is the soccer game with Pele from Ubisoft.
And
it's a Wii exclusive, right?
It is, yeah.
But how do you play a soccer game with Wii controls? I mean, does it feel natural?
It make sense? Because there's, like, I didn't notice any waggle, or the most waggle I'll get into that. So, Academy of Champions, it's a soccer game from Ubisoft, however you pronounce
Ubi.
It. Yeah. Ubi, okay, got it. From Ubisoft, it's exclusive for the Wii. It's kind of, I guess, like it's definitely a new IP. So, in Academy of Champions, Academy of Champions, you are a new student in this soccer academy, which
we were calling it like Harry Potter soccer.
It really
edition,
is Sarah Harry Potter.
The video that they showed at the press conference was a total Harry Potter. Mm. Everybody's walking around. You got, like, the cool kids and the mean kids
and the
shy
people.
Kids, and they're all holding soccer balls. Mm. They didn't show any gameplay at Ubisoft. So, I mean, how does this really play?
Okay, so it pretty much plays, I want to say, like, I guess a little Mario Strikers action. It's pretty much Mario Strikers in the sense that it's not the same view. It's kind of, I don't really know what the view is called, but it's where you look directly at the goal as opposed to, like, from the side, like, broadcast view. And so I don't know how that's going to work for, like, two players. But pretty much the controls are, you move with your control stick, you pass with A, you shoot with B.
So you're direct controlling a character. I mean, could you switch between characters?
Yeah,
you
could definitely switch.
Okay.
Just with a press of, like, the C button. But beyond that, it's pretty much just like a Mario Strikers kind of game. Each character has their own, like, power-up. And then each of, like, the special characters, like Mia Hamm, or no, not Mia Hamm. Pele has, like, this unstoppable kick. That
and love for children. He has an unstoppable love for children.
He loves the kids. He really does.
But yeah, I don't know. I kind of like was into it. Like the guy who was, like, demoing it for me before I started playing it was, like, telling me all about it. How the rival school, or the Slytherin, I guess, school, who, because apparently Pele's academy is all about teamwork and.
Of course.
Trust. The other academy is all about steroids and.
Exactly.
They're all about the adults.
And.
Teenage sex.
Yeah. All those illicit stuff. But I don't know. I guess if you're into Harry Potter and soccer, I mean, it's...
Was it enjoyable?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure that...
I'm going to call this the most derivative game on the floor. I mean, in every respect, this is like, all right.
The character design.
We want to make a game for European children. Got soccer? What? Harry Potter. We're
Football.
Done. Millions. We're done. Money. Make it.
We need something. Somebody who loves kids.
We need somebody. Somebody who really loves kids. I mean, somebody who won't shut the hell up about how much he loves Pele. So
Mr. Pele,
go deform his head right now.
Mr. Pele, why are you doing this game? I love kids. What was your role? To love the kids.
He wants to teach the kids about teamwork. I'm like, by playing a single-player soccer game.
Is it multiplayer?
I didn't really. It was definitely two-player. I don't know if it was four-player.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So two-player. Am I imagining that there's some kind of balance board support for this?
Oh, sweet God.
Did I? No, I mean, sure. I'm not sure.
There wasn't any balance boards there, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
I was thinking DDR.
I was wondering how the hell you would play a soccer game on the balance board.
Right.
Other than the Wii Fit.
Maybe have a thing.
All right, so...
That's the third-party game you should talk about.
That's not the kind of party y'all want to subscribe to.
We'll get back to that.
All right, James.
Yes. So, yesterday, I went and I played Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles The Crystal Bears, which I have been...
Yes.
I have been basically waiting for since I came on staff, effectively.
Years.
I think I might have actually claimed this game like a year and a half ago. Because they released a teaser video at a Square's Day that was like, I was like, oh my god, it's Skies of Arcadia. I'm thrilled. So
it has that vibe, yes.
It had that vibe. And so I get to the demo station, and there's nobody around. I mean, that includes Square employees, which is disconcerting. Because every time I go to the Square booth, I get attacked by somebody. But there, at this particular instance, it's my second trip up there, nobody was there. South Hall was like somebody just announced swine flu had hit South Hall. It was bizarre,
weird.
But everybody was still in West Hall getting the big games from the first parties. So South Hall was pretty vacant. So I get to play this game. I have no clue what to expect. There's nobody there to tell me what the hell's going on. So it starts with this like 4-minute video of the main character and one of his support characters being yelling at each other on a ship, and one of them sitting on the roof and the other one's flying around. Apparently they're on an escort mission, and some giant birds attack the ship, and your main character, in his genius way, jumps off his ship to fight the birds, keep them away from the ship, which makes no sense.
A lot of ship.
So while this is going on...
So he's fighting these birds in midair.
Yes. So he's now falling with his gun, his giant, like, massive machine gun.
He's not worried.
And you basically just shoot these birds and kill them. And
so you're just pointing at the screen shooting?
Yes.
I mean, can you control the character at all?
No, you just fall.
Okay.
So it's like the Metroid Prime 3 when you're falling down to the planet's core and you're just
but they're like flying around you like that, so it's not pointed down like that. It's not going to tread, but they're flying around in front of you, and you are looking out onto the horizon.
Using the arc of mime, James...
So when when he's falling and he's shooting at stuff, that goes on for maybe a minute or two, and then he basically it just abruptly ends. And he crash lands on this larger ship, which is apparently what they were protecting.
He's okay.
He uses his powers, which they reveal he has, to land.
Ah.
And you're given a score. Just at a random. Game stops, a score screen pops up.
Really? The Final Fantasy game gives you a score?
It gives you a score.
Okay.
So it's a Capcom game.
Then there's more story. And then basically, you... There's a whole lot of video. There's just a lot of video. Then you get dropped in a city that you have to wander around. And then you basically can lock on to people with the remote and the B-trigger and then fling them around like ragdoll.
As far as we know, that's the main part of the gameplay, right?
Yes.
Sort of telekinetic...
flinging?
Physics stuff, right?
Yes. So there are little objectives in town that you don't know exist. You just have to see, oh, that guy's trapped under a boulder. Maybe I should help him. So you move him and it gives you some award. It's like,
I'm glad I can
save the guy in the boulder. It's like, oh, great.
Score.
But like in terms of like being out in the wilderness fighting enemies, did you get a feel for how that works?
No.
Or?
No. In fact, the demo ends before any of that happens.
Ah, of course.
So there's a few other mini games that happen that you get scores on. It's
these are common problems for Square Enix games at E3. Honestly, they do not know how to do. Square Enix is really good at making exciting trailers for trade shows and big press events. They're not good at making demos.
There were, in fact, three separate little games in the demo that are different little games that all give you scores. And at the end, and the game doesn't look great right now. I'm not sure if it's because I played it on a huge, monstrous TV, which is not ideal for Wii, obviously.
Yeah, and looking at the trailer that Nintendo showed at their press conference, I thought, you know, the graphics are not as good on this as I expected.
No.
And I don't know why that is, but there's some nasty-looking textures and a lot of aliasing.
There's a lot of aliasing. Yeah. It looks like
ants marching along every edge of the
airship.
It really does.
It reminds me of Final Fantasy VIII, which had all those pre-rendered backgrounds, including the pre-rendered polygons on your character. There's a lot of aliasing around it.
I've been seeing that a lot on the Wii games.
Yeah, and part of it's the kind of TVs that they have here. And honestly, and this is really bad, but you know, every morning these demo units get turned on by these people who kind of don't know what they're doing, and a lot of the games could be booted in progressive scan and are not.
I actually wondered that this game wasn't in progressive scan.
Right, and in some cases, progressive scan may not be implemented in the build yet.
Right.
Or in Mad World's case, it may not be in the final game.
No.
But I think quite often it is a case that, like, if you seriously ask the person to turn off the system and then turn it back on and put it in progressive scan, it might actually look better. But yeah, this is something that happens every year.
It's worse because this was like it was on like a 52-inch plasma screen TV.
That's the other thing is that you know
Wii's not made to be on that.
No. Wii games probably should not be displayed on such a large TV.
And it was just oppressively enormous TV.
That's the kind of TV where you want some high definition.
So I am considerably less enthusiastic about this game.
And didn't they give you an opinion card saying
At the end, at the end of the demo, there's this opinion card you can pick up that basically it lists out all the characters and says rate them in your most favorite to least favorite. And then it says rate these elements of the game from most favorite to least favorite. The mini games, the exploring the city and interaction with the NPCs. Well, since I can't talk to any fucking NPCs, all I could do is fling them around. That got the highest rating. Because
they can't send you on quests if you throw them.
So now we know between Dead Space and Final Fantasy, James really likes flinging around other characters.
Yeah, effectively.
In a worse demo, I actually
rated the mini games last because I'm not sure what the hell was going on with the score. I actually discussed this with Michael Cole, who played it too, and he's like, I don't understand. He read my impressions to see if he needed to write other ones. He's like, yeah, this pretty much sums it up. I don't know what's going on here.
I might skip that demo. I'm still excited for the game, but
yeah, I think it might be worth a look just to see the hell were they doing.
Yeah. No, I've played Square Enix demos in the past, and they're always really bad. They just, I don't know. And yeah, it's hard to do an RPG demo. It really is. But, I mean, this isn't really an RPG in the traditional sense, and yet they still screwed it up. So I'm not surprised.
They could have shown combat. They didn't show combat. They showed some shooting gallery stuff.
Right. All right. So what's your other game here?
So my other game that was going to be Red Steel, but there's a lot of impressions out there, so I'm going to keep it pretty brief. It's better than the previous Red Steel. It looks nicer. The sword play and gun play is integrated now, so you can change on the fly. And it's not really something you have to do. It's just, as you swing the Wii Remote, it goes to sword combat. And as you point and shoot, it guns. And, I don't know, it feels okay. There's a delay in the sword swing that I'm not fond of. It's not true one-to-one, and I think this was an active decision by Ubisoft. I'm not sure about this game. I mean, it's got maybe an issue or two in the closet that they're not going to fix. So it's an improvement, but I'm still not sold that this is their definitive Wii shooting game that they wanted it to be.
Okay. Have you guys played it yet?
Yeah, I got a chance to play it. I agree with you. Like, the sword fighting, I thought it was going to be like the way I thought Red Steel was going to be with the whole one-to-one. But it feels a little clunky to me sometimes. Like, the the hand or the sword doesn't really replicate what, like, motion I'm doing, so, yeah. But I also heard, like, the game's only gonna be, like, the sword fighting's only Wii Motion Plus.
The whole game is only Wii
right,
Motion
yeah,
Plus.
Right, yeah, so, unless...
It ships with Wii Motion Plus.
Right. Yes. Okay, so, so it's not gonna really be a problem.
But, no, no, and the game's single player, so it's not an issue.
And there's still no blood.
Yeah, there's still no blood, but we've discussed this. It's very weird.
Yeah, it really does look kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah, so there,
it's
there's
not
a,
just me, guys.
There's a finishing move system in the game, and in one of them, I jabbed the sword through the guy's abdomen, and it came out the other side, and he pulls it back out, and the thing is fucking immaculate. It's like...
He's okay!
It doesn't make any sense.
Kitty Hawk. I mean, Kitty Pride. Kitty Pride. Okay. So it's my turn, and I know I'm not the only one who played Tony Hawk Ride today, right?
Nope. I did too.
We all, or three of us, did you play
it, Have you
James?
Played it, James?
I want to.
Okay. The line's a bit long.
Yes.
But I think it's worth it. And I didn't get a great feel for the game itself. They were showing a pretty limited demo of it.
Mm-hmm.
Was the demo like a prototype, or like, was it, like, the actual...
It's just
like
an early version of the game, but the game is definitely... I was a bit surprised to find that the game is pretty clearly separated into street skating and vert skating, like, half-pipe stuff.
Yeah, right.
And they don't really mix very much, where it's very, very different from the old Tony Hawk games, where they kind of put you in this little level, or big level in some cases, and it was kind of all mixed together. So there's a lot of stuff for you to go grind on and do street skating stuff, but then there'll be half pipes and like empty swimming pools and stuff like that all over the place that you can get into and
link
do
them
some,
all together.
Right. And it was kind of like, and then they started to do manuals and reverts and stuff that like were specifically designed to connect these aspects of the game. And that's when people felt like it really took off. Right.
Yeah.
And that's when you could start to do the crazy 5 million point combos. Well, in Tony Hawk Ride, there are vert stages and there are street stages, and mm-hmm. they're very separate. In fact, like they recommended that you actually use the controller in a different way. So for like the street stages, you're pointing with the skateboard is sort of pointing at the screen, kind of like you would for a snowboard, you know, like the way you would go down a hill with a snowboard.
Yeah.
And for the vert stages, they recommended that you kind of point it so that your entire body is facing the TV. And so it's more of like, I guess, a horizontal configuration for the board, because that's more like what it looks like in the game, I guess.
Right.
Mm. I thought that was a bit odd. Strange design choice to completely separate those out. But they said, look, they're almost two different sports. I mean, you have, you know, professional skaters pretty much do one or the other, and there's not much crossover.
Mm.
And Tony really wanted the vertical part to be a really major part of the game, because that's what he does. He's not really a street skater. And I have to say, in the past games, the past Tony Hawk games, the emphasis was far more on street skating, because they were all about the level design. They were about, look at this crazy playground we put together for you, and it's all, you know, jumping and grinding and getting up to the top of this skyscraper and ridiculous shit, causing an earthquake. anyway, other than that, you know, I thought the game looked fine. This was the 360 version they had. It's the only version that they had here.
But I think the board will be the same across all three.
Yeah, the board is pretty much the same for all three. You know, I mean, what everybody cares about is the board, and I thought the board is really cool. It feels very solid. It has a nice little bit of weight to it, but it's not too heavy to move around.
Right.
And the thing that surprised me a little bit is that it's very rounded on the bottom, so there's really mm-hmm. no stability when you're on it. If you want to just stand on the board, you kind of have to actively balance yourself. It's more of a balance board than the Wii Balance Board is, which is very stable. And you're right. You have to engage your core. Right. You have to kind of think about it a little bit just to stay still on it.
Yeah. And it'd be tough to play on just a flat, like, wooden floor.
Yeah. If you didn't have carpet,
you'd be moving around.
Right. Right. It would be even more difficult. The nice thing about it being so unstable is that, like, once you play the game and you want to be leaning around and steering, it's actually very conducive to doing that. And mm-hmm. Being on the board, actually, you kind of naturally want to lean all over the place and turn it around. Like, it really has that feeling to it. Like, it's designed to be moved around like that. And I kind of like that. Like, I felt really natural on it immediately, and I don't know shit about skateboarding. So, that was cool. You know, I got on this thing and I wanted to move around. Whereas the balance board is kind of, the Wii balance board is sort of designed to kind of make you want to stand still on it, right? Yeah. It's this platform. Yeah. You get up on it, and a lot of Wii Fit is actually about sort of standing still, right? Mm-hmm. You take your weight or whatever. So,
because the whole game is centered around your center balance,
right? Yeah. So, I mean, we already knew that the technology in the Tony Hawk Ride board is completely different than that in the Wii Balance board. But standing on them back to back today, as I was, I went from Wii Fit Plus to Tony Hawk Ride. I thought, you know, these feel completely different.
They do.
And it's no wonder that, I mean, you would never want to play this game on the balance board. It wouldn't make sense. I don't think it really made sense for Skate It, which came out last year.
No.
I think this is going to be far more successful in conveying a good feeling experience, you know.
I like that they use, I don't know what you'd call
the sensors.
Them. The sensors are right. not weight sensors like on the balance board.
No, they're just shoot out infrared beams and you sort of them.
Yeah.
And you break the beam by like moving your hand or your foot over it. It's a cool idea, but that's actually the part for me that didn't work so well. It seemed kind of janky.
You have to like reach all the way down to your actual foot instead of like
right
by your torso.
Right. Yeah. You really had to like bend way down to break it, and that could be early hardware or maybe it's the setting in the game. I don't know, but I was trying to do some like flips and grabs on the board, especially in the vert section, and it didn't really seem to work. So maybe I'm doing it wrong.
It was tough for me to ollie or manual. Like every time I tried to manual, I'd ollie first.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It really bugged me.
I didn't try to manual.
Probably something you have to get used to.
Yeah, I didn't even try the manual. I didn't know how to do it, but the ollie worked very well for me.
Okay.
I mean, he kind of indicated
that. Yeah, it worked very well for me too.
You have to make a pretty strong, discreet motion to do the ollie. Like you really have to stand up on one end of the board and kick the other up in the air.
Okay.
But when you do that, it seems to work consistently. I mean, I felt like it pretty much did it when I wanted it to.
It was the manual. He'd be like, lean back, and I'd lean back, and it would ollie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I really just want a manual.
Right.
And eventually did it, but took some ollies first.
Yeah, and I was really curious about, like, the different levels of control, which in the original video on Game Trailers TV, Tony Hawk was talking about, you know, we have kind of beginner controls, expert controls, whatever, so everybody can play it.
Mm.
And I was like, how does that really translate into the game? Because once you get on the board, you start to wonder, like, what does that even mean, beginner control, advanced, whatever? And so I asked the guy, and he said that it kind of refers to the level of sort of autopilot that your character is on in the game. So if you're on beginner mode, it'll sort of kind of guide you on rails towards ramps and grind rails and things like that. Whereas if you have it on expert, it's more like the old Tony Hawk games where you can kind of move in exactly the direction you want, sort of freely explore the levels. But that's more difficult to do. You have to be more precise and really point in the direction you want to go. And you have to be a lot more aware of it. So that's really what it comes down to in terms of doing tricks and ollieing, stuff like that. It's pretty much the same on all the levels. That's what he told me. Mm. Well,
I was actually wondering, like, I wonder how long it'll take before these things, like, start breaking apart in half and all that.
Yeah.
They don't really, well, when I got on them, I guess since everyone was playing them, or maybe because they're early prototypes, but I'm actually wondering, like, how durable they're going to be, like, the final product.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive, too.
Yeah, so if you don't...
I think with the game... Well, you have to get it with the board,
right?
But I think that bundle is like $120 or something. Yeah. Is that what they said?
That's a
lot for a game. I mean, that's even more than Wii Fit or Guitar Hero. So we'll see. But I did definitely like the controller.
It reminded me of the old like Top Skater days in the arcade, when you had to hold on to the rail just to like move the board, but this one's like all pretty easy. I thought it was kind of weird how you have to do the tricks, but I feel like it's the only way you can do it on like a controller like this. But I guess the grabs are cool. After you do an ollie, you put your hand on. Well, I guess for our case, you literally put your hand on top of the IR sensor, and it kind of does a little grab. And
so you actually grab the board.
Basically. Yeah, basically.
Right.
So.
All right. A game I saw, I did not play, but I saw a pretty long demo, and Nick was next to me, and he did play part of it, was Zephyr Rise of the Elementals.
Oh,
since Nick is not here, I thought I would bring this up real quick. It's made by Loose Cannon, who They have a lot of people who used to work on at Sucker Punch and made the first couple Sly Cooper games, I guess. And I didn't know anything about this game before we went in the demo. James clearly hates it.
It's hideous.
I did not actually play it again, but I thought it looked okay. And I thought the premise was pretty interesting. You play as a tornado, basically this character who becomes a tornado, but most of the time he just looks like a tornado.
It's Tornado Calamari.
Yeah, you move around these levels and you're sucking up items into your tornado, and the more you do that, the bigger the tornado gets and the bigger items you can suck into. So I mean, there's kind of this progression of scale, you know, as you get bigger, the things you can move are get bigger and bigger, and you can kind of go do new things. But yeah, it's clearly, you know, very much like Katamari.
When the tornado dies down and all the stuff's in a stack and the rabbits go home.
Yeah, the tornado doesn't really die down.
Okay.
So
why do you hate this so much, James?
It sucks. That's why I hate it.
Okay.
Well, before you go, like, what platform is it on?
Everything.
It's for Wii and 360 and PS3.
Okay.
But they said that the Wii version was like the lead platform. That's the one they've been working on the longest.
Because that was built with the PS2 dev kit.
Yeah. No, I agree. Honestly, the graphics are
atrocious.
Not very good. I don't think they're really bad.
They're when you see it in motion playing it, though, it feels bad.
I saw it in motion. I watched it for like 15
when
minutes.
When I leveled up to like level 5 tornado always just disappears. So it's just my character standing there where the tornado should be with shit flying around it.
I'm sure that was a bug.
It is a bug. I know it's a bug, but
there's a difference between buggy and bad graphics.
No, but when it happens every time, it's more than just a bug.
It's a repeatable bug.
They should have found it.
I'm sure they have, and they just haven't fixed it yet.
That shouldn't.
Don't be a douche, man. We're at E3. These games are not finished.
That game wasn't ready to be shown. I mean, the demos they put out there.
It's coming out in like 3 months.
Oh, that's going to be a terrible game. Well, I mean, let's put it this way.
We'll see. We'll see what
the
looks like.
I thought the visuals were underwhelming. I thought especially the tornado looks like kind of like it's made of paper.
There's no challenge to the game either. Essentially, you just go around and you pick crap up, and nothing seems to deter you. So basically, I just sat there at one time and just held the analog stick and just went around.
Did it look better than Aragorn's quest?
No, it looked worse. And I
don't want to get into Aragorn.
I just picked up.
It's a kid's game.
I just picked up crap, and even if I couldn't pick something up, eventually I would bounce off of it and then go to the next thing I could pick up.
Yeah, I kind of wondered about, you know, how is this game challenging Zephyr? I mean,
it doesn't feel like they could put challenge into it.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those game designs, if I may be so bold as to compare it to Da Blob.
Yeah,
it seems like one of those games that just like it's kind of a neat idea, but like once you start building levels around it, you have to wonder,
did they?
How do we make a whole game out of this?
So another thing that was really weird was they had this guide on controls out, and it said for stage 1, these are the controls. For stage 2, these are the controls. For stage 3, these are the controls.
So you're gaining new abilities as
right.
you go through.
And they didn't say that they had different controls for each stage.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, but each stage we picked. None of those controls worked.
Okay.
So the only thing implemented was the analog stick.
Yeah.
Which was really weird.
So you played the entire game with the joystick.
Yes, effectively.
Yeah.
So, and when I spoke to the person at the game, like all they would say was like, this game is they say things like, remember you can do the stomp. I'm like, and I'm over there pressing the button to do it. I'm like. It's not working. And she's like, it's the B trigger. I'm like,
I know what the B trigger is. So, I work at Nintendo World Report.
I'm like, I know, it's not doing anything.
I think there's actually supposed to be some motion control for that. That's, anyway.
I'd like to know what the PS3 and Xbox versions of
the game
look like.
They look bad, too.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right.
I mean, I just don't feel like this game is going to evolve into anything that is going to get anything over 6, to be honest.
Something to
who
look
knows?
For.
I really don't want to hear about review right. scores.
That's
completely inappropriate.
Well,
there's
no appreciable way they can add depth to that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned with.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a foreseeable problem. And I asked the guy, and I asked this at a lot of demos. I'm like, you know, what kind of progression do you have in the game? I mean, as you play the game hour after hour, what changes for the player? And He said, you know, he mentioned that you get these abilities, like you get the stomp from the earth elemental and the dash from the water elemental, and they have bosses as well, which is kind of like a, no, I know, it sounds weird.
Is it Godzilla?
The boss battles are kind of cool, because the idea is to, like, basically tear up all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
With the tornado, and the boss battle is basically a really fortified building withstands the wind, right? So the idea is you kind of have to take it out one piece at a time.
Interesting.
And each time that you approach the building, you're kind of being thwarted by this by cloud cover.
Yeah, yeah, so, down to the clouds.
Right, so the tornado is basically, if it hits sunlight, it kind of weakens the tornado. So right. You can see these patterns on the ground. I've never seen this in a game before, where cloud cover and sunlight were kind of used this way. But
that's true.
You've got clouds moving around, and so you're trying to stay under the clouds. And, you know, so it's you're kind of moving from one cloud to the next and trying to approach this building. You get up to the building, you kind of do some stuff to it and knock out a piece of it, and then then basically you get thrown back and you kind of go through this obstacle course again, and maybe something changes. So that's the way the boss battles are done. It's kind of neat, actually. I'm definitely more up on the game than James is. I mean, I did not
myself control it. I think if you go play it for like 10 minutes, you'll be like, what the hell?
Maybe watching it's fine, but then when you actually
could be.
He doesn't move fast either, so that could become
It was pretty slow. It was definitely, you know, the guy was pretty clear that they wanted to make a sort of a casual game, a game that kids could play, and he indicated that he felt like they had to put some things in there to give it depth for other players as well.
Sure.
And I could see where he was going with that. I'm not sure it's enough depth for me.
Yeah, you know,
it is a very simple game.
We might not be their audience.
Right, right, right.
Well, yeah, but I think even if we're not the audience, we should still be able to see, oh, that's where the fun is in this game.
I think we've talked about Zephyr too much.
It's game of show.
Well, in my defense, every person that I saw pick it up immediately put it down after about a minute. They're just like,
there you go. It made me think that it reminded me that Namco still hasn't done a Katamari for Wii.
Yeah,
which I don't get.
Which they had announced at one point and then canceled it after Microsoft paid the exclusive money.
Which was stupid. That was a bad move. But anyway,
Nick told me there's one coming out on the PS3, like some compilation.
Yeah, there is. It's a HD Katamari.
Well, HD is a funny word with Katamari.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. But you know, they did Nobi Nobi Boy and everything.
Yeah, they've done other stuff.
Anyway. That's going to wrap up the show this week.
I'm sure we'll have more tomorrow.
Just habit there. We do plan on doing another show tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow is the last day of E3. It'll kind of be probably a smorgasbord of random shit tomorrow. Personally, I'm hoping to get a couple minutes to go over and play some Xbox stuff. Most years I don't get the opportunity to do that now that I'm semi-retired. I'd like to be a little selfish tomorrow, so we'll see if that actually happens.
Go play Batman.
Yeah. And
seriously?
Yeah, seriously. No, really. Take my word for it.
Okay. I like Batman, the maybe character.
Not. Yeah.
But this game, you feel like Batman.
Okay. Well, anyway.
On
thanks
that bombshell.
I'm kind of blown away that you think Batman is good. I have to see this now.
Before we end, we definitely have to check out Redneck Chicken Riot.
No.
No.
Redneck Chicken Riot. I know a lot of rednecks. I've never known anyone who rode on a chicken.
In a riot.
I did.
Freedom big now.
I did pretend that to be wearing a chicken suit today in Wii Fit Plus. But yeah, that's for another show. Actually, that was my favorite part of Wii Fit Plus. But
the chicken.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Is it any different than? I mean, I know it is different.
It's balloon fight, basically.
Let me ask you this about Wii Fit Plus. I know we're off topic, but I just want to know: does it make Wii Fit like? Why did I buy this?
You know what I mean? We don't really know, because all they're showing at E3 are the balance board games, which are all new.
Oh, okay.
So it's not very clear yet whether it sort of replaces a lot of the non-game activities that were in Wii Fit.
At the press conference, they said it's like the same exercises plus more.
And workouts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, workouts. In that case, so maybe you know I should go home and trade in Wii Fit while it has some value. And
yeah.
The thing with Wii Fit Plus is... to me, it's pretty clear that it should not be a full price game. It is basically an expansion pack or a somewhat expanded version of the same thing. And, you know, especially if you've already paid $90 for the first one, it seems to me like this is a disc that doesn't have that much new content on it. It should probably be $20-$30. I think that would be really clever of Nintendo to do that, you know. We'll see. For $50, I definitely would not buy it, and I would tell everybody I know not to buy it. Unless there's some crazy shit on there that they haven't revealed yet. I don't think there is, though. Okay. I think it's a pretty unambitious product to put out there. Not pointless. Yeah. I really enjoyed the stuff I did today, but I wouldn't pay $50 to put on a chicken suit and land on targets. I really wouldn't. Okay. That's going to end our show. Thanks to Chuck and Zach, and good job on your first appearance here. Sweet. And hope thanks to James as well, who's coming back every day despite his voice being shot. Yeah. Poor guy. I'm feeling it too, but you're bearing the brunt of this, I'm afraid. All right, thanks for listening, and stay tuned for tomorrow when we have another show.
No.
Bye.